Welcome to Roundtable Talk, a podcast about longevity, senior services marketing, and the quality of life as one ages. Roundtable Talk is brought to you by Pavone Group and Varsity, a senior services agency focused on helping clients win the mature market. If you like the fresh perspectives we deliver in each episode, please give Roundtable Talk a 5-star review on the podcast service of your choice.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Varsity's Roundtable Talk. My guest today is Terry Farrell, beloved for her role as Jadzia Dax on Star Trek Deep Space Nine, although you may also know her from Becker. She's an actress, a sci-fi icon, and an advocate for embracing life's next chapters. Terry, thanks so much for joining us, and welcome to Roundtable Talk.
Oh, thank you for welcoming me, Derek. I'm so happy to see you.
Of course, it's good to see you again. First question I'm curious about is, what is your personal philosophy or perspective on aging well?
Wow. I think it has a lot to do with your mental attitude about it. I mean, no one's getting a get out of jail free card from it.
Absolutely.
It's just part of the process, right?
Because I know you've done a lot with yoga and other kinds of ways to stay young, both mentally and physically, or at least fit, I should say, mentally and physically. How has that kind of fed into your philosophies?
Well, way back when I first started doing yoga, the teacher, one of the first teachers I ever had, said, "You're only as young as your spine is flexible." And it really is true. When you watch people that move through the world that take care of their bodies, they can do a full turn in their car to look behind. But as we age, if we aren't moving our bodies and getting up and down off the floor, things like that, when you start to avoid activities, your body kind of goes along with it and stops working in a youthful way.
That's an interesting philosophy.
So, yeah.
thank you. That's you're only as young as your spine is flexible. I'll have to keep that in mind and work on my spine.
But I'm not perfect about diet and exercise. I'm on the tracks, off the tracks, and I think that's real for most people. So if you hear, I think you just assume people are dogmatic about it, and I can't keep that pace up. It's not enjoyable.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And I like my Lay's potato chips.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So looking back, how has your perspective on aging changed from when you started your career to now? And I know you started your career really quite young, so I'm sure you weren't even thinking about aging. So you started in high school, right?
Yeah. I left high school early to move to New York. I think our culture was in a very different place growing up in the 60s. It was a very much a you're never too rich or too thin, diet at all cost. I definitely did the death diet as a model, which we said, oh, I forgot to put my thing on. Do not disturb, unless that was you.
I think it was on your side, but that's no worries at all. Don't worry about it.
So the culture was you had to remain youthful your whole life. And when you're young, you're not thinking about it. And you might be worried about it, that it's going to go away. But I think we've come a long way from there. A long way. I definitely felt when I first started from agents and managers and, you know, different people's perspective in the industry that your shelf life was to about 30. And if you hadn't become a famous actor by the time, or actress, by the time you're 40, you're done. So it felt like I have to be, oh, shoot, I got to get this all in before I'm 40. And as the world changed and, people began to embrace their age. It just seemed a little less. I don't know. I'm going to jump now. I'm sorry.
That's
I have ADHD, so this is going to happen.
No worries.
But I think about the amount of plastic surgery people do, and the people that look great that you can't see the change that they did. That is so much money. It's almost unrealistic. But when you see people not embrace age and have had cut, you know, facelifts and whatnot to their actual face, a lot of times it's disastrous. And I'd much rather age naturally. And yeah, it's no fun, but I'm not alone in it. It's your skin the most that moves, right?
That's right.
And so if you are feeling better and better about who you are as a person mentally, then the skin doesn't matter so much. You just do what you can. And there's a lot of great things about getting older.
I love that. That's an amazing way to look at it. But was there a moment in your career, you mentioned the 30s and 40s, that you know, early on that was what you sensed you had to make it big by then. But was there a moment in your career when you became much more aware of age as a factor in in either your success or in the way people were perceiving you or people around you?
I think right now. It didn't occur to me so much because I quit my career to be an at-home mom at 40. I had Max. And I looked great at 40, so I didn't really think about it. But when now being 61 and I just got an agent and coming back into it, I have to remember that I'm not as young on the outside as I feel on the inside. So the parts will be different because I'm a different age. So that just makes it at first a little daunting for sure, because it's a different approach. You have to see yourself a little differently. But it's also exciting too, because the world's in a better place with, you know, having all kinds of mixed race families, mixed gender, mixed culture. There's so much more of acceptance of who you are and how you move through the world than there ever has been, at least in my opinion.
That's great. So you mentioned that you just recently got an agent. So what kinds of parts are you pursuing? Where would you like to see your career go in the next, you know, few months, few years, et cetera?
Well, the agent asked the same question, and I said, it's Carissa Mitchell in Albuquerque, and they have an office in LA and an office in Atlanta. I said, you know what, I have done this a couple of times in my career where you're kind of rebooting yourself. Right now, I have no idea. So how about we see what comes up that I'm right for, and then we'll worry about a plan. But to just jumpstart your career to begin with, I'm hardly Demi Moore, where I'm sure she got scripts even when she wasn't working. You know, she doesn't have the same issues that I do. But you watch her jump into something really exciting and you go, yeah, look at it, it's possible. I mean, I don't have to be at her level to know that there are things that are possible.
Well, you know, certainly don't sell yourself short, but it is amazing to see how she has, seemingly come out of nowhere and had this, you know, long career like you have, but, you know, is now, she won a Golden Globe. She's, by some measures, a front runner for the Oscar. And, you know, just watching her and seeing how humble she is, it almost is charming that, you know, I don't think she ever expected this, at least.
Yeah, I believe that too. Yeah, and to have such great parts. But when I saw her, this was such a great example, and I was so excited that I saw this because I thought, oh my gosh, I have to share this with Derek. Capote versus the Swans.
Yes, I watched that too.
And I thought it was a great, it made me so happy to see all those actresses looking their age, and they all look beautiful, but there was no hiding it. You couldn't see fillers or didn't look like everybody Botoxed up for it. And it was, it made me more relaxed watching it. It felt like, yes, 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 this is what we do. And these strong, powerful actresses who advocate for themselves to get parts, to write things, like even Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman do a great job of really pulling women together to create stories. And I don't think it's that people don't want to watch older people on television or movies. I think there's so much content right now that you can watch a certain type of television or films and miss out on older people. On the other hand, there are a lot of things that are just appropriate, like the grandfather, the president. You're not going to see a president that's 30 years old. And those women have taken those roles too as being the president. So I think our culture and what people have demanded through Me Too, through, well, it's Black History Month, Black and brown actors really fighting for parts and wanting to be seen and included. And it really made a difference for everyone.
Sure, sure. And, you know, I do think that, you know, it's interesting in our culture, what used to be old is you know, really no longer. Look at, you know, Mick Jagger and Paul McCartney, you know, a couple of iconic, you know, performers in the music world, but, you know, in their 80s, they're still going strong.
And look at how they move through the world.
Yep.
They move great for 80-year-olds. It's insane.
Absolutely. But they've been working on their spines.
Yeah, they've been chaturanga.
That's right. So what advice would you give to younger actors about longevity, not just in their careers, but also in their personal lives? Because I would imagine it's difficult to kind of remain grounded as you are moving through a career in the entertainment industry.
I think enjoy each phase you're in, because movies and television are telling us stories about life, our imagination, and it requires all age groups to tell these stories. So you're never going to run out of parts that you can play. And just like any career, you have peaks and valleys. And maybe with actors, you feel it more because you're trying to live your own life at the same time you're having your career. And it is a little sticky because they own your time once you've signed on. You can't be replaced once you're the face of a character. but to just really enjoy wherever you're at.
That's great. So are there misperceptions about aging in the entertainment industry? And you know, have you come across any, you know, that you think are perhaps myths? Or is it, you know, are they largely realities? Like any misconceptions about aging, you know, in the entertainment industry.
What do you think's a conception that I might think is a misconception?
Well, I guess great question. You know, perhaps you know, could be that you know, older actors don't have the same worth, or that older actors have to be, you know, the grandparent or a minor character. You know, we certainly had the Golden Girls back in the, you know, in the 80s, 90s, whenever they were on, that started to bring some of it forward, perhaps. But, you know, do you feel like there is an embrace? Are people embracing aging and older actors now more than perhaps ever?
Oh, wow. I don't know. I mean, I suppose I notice it more because I'm in a different age group than I was before I quit my career to be an at-home mom. I don't think it really matters. I don't think it really matters. It's like, wasn't everybody excited when Harrison Ford came back? It was like, great point. My gosh, there he is. I mean, love him. And it's so great to see him in so many things again.
Even
maybe
one
it's
the,
all in our minds.
One of the more popular Super Bowl commercials this year.
Exactly. I want a Jeep.
Yep. But that's a great point. You know, it might very well be, you know, in the eye of the beholder or in our own perceptions.
Yeah, and I think that's very individual.
So how do you think Hollywood could showcase aging more authentically? Or do you think there's an opportunity for that? I mean, you know, as you're getting back into it, I know that you don't necessarily have a direct vision of where you want to go. You want to see where the opportunities are, but what are you hoping for potentially? How can it showcase aging more authentically?
Well, I think in hiring actors that haven't had cosmetic surgery or willing to look natural, because that too is kind of a double-edged sword. Does the producer, director, studio want it, or does the actor want it? Right? So if they're demanding women to be ageless, then women become more paranoid about trying to be ageless. And so the more we can just embrace us being real like they do in Europe.
That's great. For like their you were films. Saying with you know, Capote and the Swans, that they looked very real, that looked authentic. And I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, I do too. So I think it's just a matter of, I don't know. It's just, you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings once they've had surgery and it looks bad, but it just takes me right out of a show, unless it's appropriate that that character would have had a lot of plastic surgery.
Yep. I won't ask you to name names, nor would I expect you to, but, but I think we can all imagine, you know we've all had those experiences, right?
Right, exactly.
Yep. Yep.
Where you watch something and you go, oh no, what happened? Oh no. And yeah. You want to hug them and say, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry you did that.
Yep.
Oh, that's exactly so right. Heartbreaking. Because imagine that they must be feeling that way too.
Very true.
I mean, this dysmorphia for your face, your body. My son just told me the other day, Mom, you definitely have it. You always think you're fat and you're not.
Interesting. Oh, well, you certainly
yeah,
are not. But
yeah. I grew up with a mom that it was like being thin and young was super important. And if I gained any weight, I got a little, what is that?
Wow.
Or frowning, stop. You know, very picky about those kinds of things. And then go into modeling and then acting. And it's all the same kind of like, oh, you've gained a little weight. You lose weight. Oh, no, you've lost too much weight.
So do you think that experience with your mother prepared you? Or was it just reinforced in an unhealthy way once you got into modeling and acting?
The latter. Yeah, the latter. And I think there was a lot of not feeling good enough growing up.
Interesting.
Not pretty enough, not smart enough. And I'm not alone. I talked to my friends too, and a lot of them had that experience. You know, late bloomer. All of those kinds of, so people can't imagine when they see you now that you went through that as a kid, but it kind of makes you a perfect employee because you're so worried about doing exactly what they want.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating perspective. And I can see where that it is almost the perfect training for that kind of an environment where it is so fixated on looks and weight and everything else.
It's so neurotic. Yeah. Oh, and actually what's nice about aging is letting it go. The life experiences that got me here. And I'm so grateful I had that time with Max and Brian to be out of the industry. And, you know, I'm still a work in progress, but I have value outside of wearing a certain size pants and having a certain look, you know.
Absolutely. No, that's... That does make a lot of sense. So, you know, it sounds as if progress is being made to some degree.
Yeah.
But, you know, is there still work to be done? What needs to change for more progress to take place in terms of, you know, whether it's, you know, for the young actors, actresses to feel more validated in their skin, literally and figuratively, or to help, you know, portray more authentic stories as people age? What needs to happen? What needs to change?
Well, I think the Me Too movement did a lot. Also with the body shaming. There are things you can't say to people anymore that they used to be able to say. All of these things make a really big difference. So changing our culture changes how we see the world, changes how these movies and TV shows are cast and produced. I think it makes a big difference. And if there are laws in place that you can't give somebody any body shaming or sexually inappropriate behavior, because before Me Too, I think that was something that was just normal for me to try to avoid someone touching me inappropriately or brushing off inappropriate comments. But not being able to do very much, being powerless. And still, the victim is generally still seen as part of the equation. Like, well, what were you wearing? What did you say? All of those things. And it's, you're powerless. Sure. Once you have the job, if your executive producer's coming on to you, you just have to avoid because you don't want to get fired. That's not just in acting. That's in everything, whether you work at, you know, I imagine Walmart, any of these big places in big corporations, it's something that definitely dynamic. Needed to be addressed. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do you think aging male actors, that we talked about Harrison Ford, you brought him up earlier, face the same challenges as women in Hollywood, or is there still a double standard when it comes to how men and women age on screen?
I don't know in terms of watching that I've noticed much difference, but I think there kind of is. And I don't know if it's because we're a patriarchal society or I don't know what it is. I think you have to remember you're valuable. I don't think you're more valuable than anybody else, but we all have value. And that's what you need to focus on is your own value. But in terms of men and women and how they age, that again goes back to our cultural norms and what we accept and we don't accept.
Sure. And but you know, by way of accepting, you know, it seems to me that people are more open to seeing older actresses, older characters in storytelling. You know, certainly we've seen that. Rita Moreno is still, you know, very, yeah, very active. June Squibb is, you know, really coming to her own, had her first starring role, you know, well into her 90s. So it does feel like there are those opportunities, at least from my perspective. Are you sensing that?
Yeah.
As well?
I'm glad you said that. I think so too. I think it goes into our culture that before, way back, I mean, think about, there were always like Cary Grant was older and then there'd be like a really young woman that now would feel like, oh, that's so uncomfortable. But back then it wasn't in the 50s, right? It was not such a weird thing, but now it would be completely inappropriate. So I mean, Tom Cruise still always has a woman that's younger than him when he's doing his Mission Impossibles. Who could blame him? They sure move faster. So there's some things that I just think the world, there's so many platforms to work on now, and there's so many different ways to see it that, you know, if you're moving forward with the world and wanting to make it a better place for everyone, this is what we're going to have. People who are appropriate ages playing their appropriate parts.
That's
and
great.
Appropriate, I don't mean to sound like it's a box. It's just that if I'm going to play, when I asked the new agent, Carissa, I said, look, one of the things is I'm 61. Please don't have me read for somebody who's enough younger than me that I have to try to be younger than I am, unless it's part of the storyline as a joke or a character trait that she has sure issues with. I don't have any time for that. I don't want to be stressed when I'm going to work.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I think you've achieved that, the right to say that. So yeah, that's great.
Thank you. I think at 61 I have.
That's right. So Hollywood has always had tricks to make actors appear younger, but now there are things like digital de-aging, AI, and other sorts of technologies that are taking it to the next level. You know, we've seen it in Star Wars where they brought people back, Marvel films, you know, and even entire performances in films that are recreated from archival footage. How do you feel about the rise of de-aging technology and AI-generated versions of actors? Does it help or hurt the representation of aging? Or just how do you feel about it ethically, philosophically, et cetera?
I watched Here, starring Tom Hanks and her name went right out of my head. Robin Wright. And what I thought was wonderful about the AI in that is I got to see the same actors play their entire lifetime. And I don't know what they went through in terms of how they do that AI, if there's anything that the actor has to do outside of being on the set. But it was really fun to see them both young again and go through that whole adventure. And it didn't pop out. Like watching Dexter, it kind of pops out who's the actor who plays
Michael C. Hall?
No. The new one with about his son.
I've not seen the new one yet, but yep.
You haven't?
Who is the son, yep.
Christian Slater. There are close-ups on Christian Slater and the way they do the lighting that it makes it a little too much of a glow. And it's like, ooh, his face looks a little plastic. So I think it depends on how they're doing it.
Sure. And so if it serves the story, that's an interesting
one.
Yeah,
if it serves the story, great. But if it takes a work from an actor, no. Mm-hmm. That bothers me.
You know, and you mentioned Here, which I've not seen that film yet, but I don't know if you saw the movie Boyhood a few years back.
You two would enjoy it. You and Beth would really enjoy Here.
We'll have to check it out.
There's so many terrific actors in it.
We definitely will. Did you see Boyhood by Richard Linklater? It was actually filmed over, I think, 20 years.
And, oh, I did.
And that was an amazing film to see the actors literally age because, the boy was a boy. And then, you know, he grew into a man by the end of the film. But, you know, thankfully, everybody was willing to stick with the project. And
that is a big commitment. On top of the fact that, thank goodness, everybody was alive.
Right.
You just don't know what's going to happen in life.
I guess
it doesn't matter your age there.
That's right. So there's a question that I like to ask every Roundtable Talk guest. What are you looking forward to as you age?
Just really loving myself and liking myself and feeling more and more comfortable with the journey I've had in life. I heard someone say, that's not a regret, that was a lesson. And that just made, it was so powerful to me. It just made me feel so much better because we all make mistakes. We all have things that we wish we would have said differently or done differently. And they're all lessons for all of us.
That's great. That's not a regret. That's a lesson.
Yeah. So just more and more comfortable in my own skin and trying to shake off, you know, the old trauma and literally PTSD from post-traumatic reaction.
Yep. Sure.
To some situations.
Well, hopefully you're achieving that. You certainly seem to be, really grounded.
Thank you.
So you played Jadzia Dax on Star Trek Deep Space Nine for 6 seasons. It's the role, as we've talked about, that you're probably best known for. Science fiction has a unique way of tackling themes of time and aging. Do you think it's been ahead of other genres in how it approaches these topics?
I think it's been ahead of most things simply for its acceptance of all. The reason Gene Roddenberry had Aliens was really different cultures were being represented in a way that wasn't off-putting to some people that maybe wouldn't be able to handle it otherwise.
That was interesting.
It's almost a proxy for
different cultures.
Yeah. And the same with dealing with any kind of social injustice. All of those kinds of things can be tackled in sci-fi with a softer touch than how a lot of people handle them. And I think that sci-fi, not just Star Trek, but all of sci-fi, there's a lot more you can do to get people to see the moral of the story, to feel it in a way that it starts to integrate in their lives without feeling like they're being hit over the head with a shovel.
Great point. And hopefully people are aware enough to actually take some of those lessons and apply them into their lives. But yes. I guess that's the trick, is to give them those tools and hope they'll be equipped to you know, to really extrapolate it into their lives.
Yeah, that's nice when that happens.
Indeed. So Star Trek has explored longevity, time travel, human evolution, all of those kinds of topics. But what's a storyline that really made you think about aging in a new way?
Hmm. I think having this time to myself when Max has gone off to college, and anytime I see actors my age or older working, it gives me hope that I'll get another part, that I'll be able to start my career again, because it's like, I see those people are my age.
Sure.
Those people are working. Those people have major parts and they're not all famous people.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's very true. That's very true. But do you think a storyline in Star Trek, you know, that really made you kind of reflect on aging or think about it differently, whether it's Deep Space Nine or any of the others?
Well, I would say my character lives 7 lifetimes, and how I dealt with that is I considered different times in my life to be like a lifetime.
Hmm. Interesting.
And I still kind of do. I mean, that's just kind of how I've watched myself grow and change, hopefully evolve, is through each phase of it.
So your character really was the embodiment of longevity in a lot of ways.
Yes. And they wanted me to play her way more kind of austere and reserved. But I just thought, if this was my 7th lifetime, I must really enjoy people who aren't getting it. They're not where I'm at. I've already done this a whole bunch of times. So I imagined that I had a great sense of humor and that I loved people and I loved watching them. And I had so much compassion and empathy when they struggled. But knowing that sometimes when you're fighting the struggle in your life, you have to let go and do what you can while you're in it and know that this too shall pass. And the same thing for the most ecstatic, wonderful things in your life. This too shall pass, because you're never going to be living that the entire time. It's always going to be up and down and all over the place. And the quicker you can try to relax and know that being reactive is not going to help you get through it. There's another red light. Ah, you cut me off, but I'm still alive. Ah, I didn't get my way. I'll try again next time. I think there has to be more letting go of what your ego wants and trying to stay true with, maybe this is a lesson. I'm not going to get what I want right now, but if I work towards it, I can have it in the future.
Sure. Well, that's an important perspective, I think, and just sometimes realizing just let it go.
Yeah. Or maybe it's just not meant for me. Why am I trying so hard to get something that's clearly not making me happy? Because I'm not.
Sure.
You know, sometimes it's just too much spinning your wheels.
Absolutely. Now, you know, you mentioned that your character on Deep Space Nine lived 7 lives, but ultimately your character was killed off in a very dramatic way in a dramatic episode. How difficult was it to watch your character die?
Well, actually, it was really not that dramatic. He just shot me. A lot of people complain that I was such a great fighter. That was such a weak ending. It was a few things for me. It was liberating because after working on the show for 5 years, I was given a take it or leave it offer. And I felt, or 6 years, it was for the 7th season. After 6 years of working, I was given a take it or leave it offer. And I thought about it all summer. And I just thought, this doesn't feel right, that it should be a conversation. It should be a real raise. So, especially if it's only for 1 year. And so I said respectfully, no, thank you. But then I kept getting, they kept calling and saying, you know, it was just terrible. It was a horrible year. So by Christmas, so we'd already been filming like 6 months into the sixth season, I started reading for other TV shows. And I went to network twice. And I was very excited about those things happening. And then, irony, I read for Becker. And it's really weird to cross the same lot to go have an audition at my lunch break. And the day after they killed me on Deep Space Nine, literally the next day, I handed them my passes. The next day I came on, I got a visitor's pass to go to the executives in the Paramount, at Paramount, to read for the studio for Becker. And then I went to the network. And then obviously I got the part. And
that's right.
That was just serendipitous. That was not planned. No one knew that was going to happen. I mean, the studio knew what was going on, but it wasn't like they weren't in the middle of the mix of trying to make me stay or go. I don't think they cared one way or another. But yeah.
Well, I would imagine that's, I don't know that it's unprecedented, but to go right from one to the other and have 10 uninterrupted years of roles.
Series
like
television.
Yeah. Series television. Exactly.
So. That's a lot. It's training okay. That doesn't go
I
away.
Found this on the web, so
sure.
That's a
lot. Sure.
Oh, now Siri's talking to me. Did I say Siri or Alexa?
They have a way of entering the conversation, don't they? I guess that's sci-fi
see, that's
in real life.
That's the bad thing about AI.
That's right.
I'm just going to turn it off.
Sounds good. So
you appear, do not disturb does not apply to her.
Apparently not. She'll jump in the conversation wherever she wants.
Mm.
So you appear regularly at Star Trek conventions. In fact, we bumped into you out in Vegas. Just this
that
past summer.
That was so amazing.
That was great.
It was crazy. What a thrill!
So how does that experience keep you energized?
Oh well, I feel very lucky, as do all of us Star Trek actors, to have the gift that keeps giving. That's my way of making a living. I did it while Max was little from time to time. How does it keep me energized? It's the fans. It's the fans. And because LGBTQ community has been so supportive of me and found so much connection with the character I played, Dax. And although she wasn't transgender, a lot of the transgender community finds some connection with Dax and likes to use her as their poster girl. So I'm really honored, because that really speaks to, you know, just my soul wanting to feel accepted. I want it for other people. And we are who we are.
That's right.
And those of us who are, you know, straight people don't have to work at being accepted for being straight. And it just feels so wrong that just because it doesn't look like what your neighbor looks like, why can't you just mind your own business and be
and
supportive of other people living their one and only life?
I agree. That's an important point to keep in mind, but I think that's well said. I know, having seen some of your social media posts and having witnessed it myself in person with you a handful of times, the fans are just so appreciative of how accessible and how warm you are with them. And I'm sure that it's a give and take, because you're getting something from them, as you've just said. But
yes.
Wonderful.
Oh, I love them so much. They're so kind to me. And obviously, it's just wonderful to have somebody watch something you've done. And of course, it's Star Trek. There were a lot of issues we dealt with. I was in a interracial relationship. I fell back in love with my widowed wife. I get to fight battles for people. And it was really fun to be a hero.
That's great. And you can kind of, you know, suspend, what is it, suspend disbelief, I guess, when you're in that sci-fi world.
Oh, yes.
I think anytime you get... happens after your seven lives, but...
Seven lives, yeah. I think it happens for anybody who gets to play. This is why I like being a part of a series. You get to know the character really well, and it starts to feel like just another slice of your personality. And it's really fun to have access to that.
That's
sometimes
great.
Still, when if I feel scared or nervous in a situation, I kind of feel myself, you know, putting on my Dax.
Sure.
Yeah.
I bet that is a tool you know, that you can pull out of your toolbox. So
yeah.
That's great. So for this next section of our conversation, I'd like to read some quotes from people in Hollywood about aging and get your thoughts about those statements.
Okay.
So Jennifer Love Hewitt said recently in an interview, and Taylor Swift had said something similar, fans pick this age that they love, that they think represents you, and you're never supposed to grow beyond that. Do you agree?
Wow. Well, okay, this is a weird thing. I would say men have come up to me about letting my hair color grow out. Some have said to me, why aren't you coloring your hair?
Interesting.
Or if I cut my hair, oh, I liked your hair long. And then there are women that come up and go, oh, thank you for not coloring your hair anymore. I'm inspired. It's so great not to go to the salon every 4 weeks. And
interesting.
So people just have their opinions no matter what. I think that's one of the things you have to learn as an actor really early, to just be a duck and let it slide off, because that's their opinion. You didn't ask for it, but they want to share it with you because they feel like they know you, because you're in their living room with them and they feel like they know you. It doesn't mean that unsolicited opinions like that are going to make a dent in who you are and how you move through the world.
Sure, sure. And you know, just interesting hearing you discuss that. I was reminded, I read, I saw an interview with Brooke Shields recently, and she just released a new book, and I forget the title of it, but the gist was, you know, almost like, how dare you age? You know, that she was never supposed to age because people thought of her, you know, kind of put her in that box of being a mm-hmm. teenager.
Yeah. In the beautiful box.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. I'm sure you've probably felt
trapped. I have friends who say, I used to see you that way, but I don't anymore, but they still do. There's still little things they, I don't know. I think you have to really let all of that go.
Yep,
it's a absolutely. Tough one because, you know, you probably have your own little voice in there telling you, babe, look at these wrinkles. I didn't used to have those. Oh, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think also with Star Trek, it might be a little easier or in sci-fi to get stuck that you're kind of this action figure of a person. But I don't know. It takes all kinds. I try really hard not to let that get to me.
Sure. Good. Well, here's another one. Helen Mirren said, it's much better to age disgracefully. Take it on the chin and roll with it. You die young or you get older. There's nothing in between. You might as well enjoy it.
How do you feel about that? Yeah. 100%. Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. And that's a lot of what we've been talking about, right? During our time together today.
There's days when I have my hips have arthritis. So there's days where it's like, oh, and other days where I don't notice it at all.
That's right. And you know, as you said earlier, you know, in your mind, you're still, you know, 10, 20, 30 years younger than the physical body.
But yeah, true. And she's amazing.
Isn't she?
Yeah. And she works all the time.
Yeah. Julianne Moore said, in literature and in movies, when people try to stop the aging process, it always ends in disasters. I think it's really important to be where you are.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that one?
I agree.
Sure.
Yeah, because that addresses also the having surgery on your face to try to look younger.
Yep, exactly. And one last one, another one from Helen Mirren. She has a lot to say on the topic.
I bet.
And of course, she doesn't.
She's had lots of practice.
That's right. We all watched James Bond as he got more and more geriatric, and his girlfriends got younger and younger. It's so annoying. How do you feel about that statement?
Oh, I think it's more, it's cringy. It's just cringy. It's like, get with the times. Sure. Give him an intelligent woman, at least, you know, maybe 10 years younger, I can see, but not when she's in her 20s and he's in his 60s. That's just like, okay, yes, I imagine there are relationships that really work well with that big span of time, but not always.
Sure.
So to portray it like it's our normal is really not taking the temperature of what's happening in our country and around the world.
Sure. Well said. So, you know, as we talked about earlier, you retired from acting in 2003 to, you know, when you had your son. You're living now in the in the Southwest, not in LA. You have an agent. What do you want to return to a regular series? Are you thinking of stage work? I know you did when you were living here in Pennsylvania. You did a couple plays, which was a lot of fun.
It was fun. We worked on them together.
Indeed, that was a good time. But what aspirations, you know? And I know that, you know, as far as the storylines and such, as you've already said, you don't necessarily aren't putting yourself in a box. But you know, what kinds of projects would you like to see?
I really like action adventure spies. You know, it's that I could see myself being, you know, deputy director of the FBI or an agent or a mom, a grandma. You know, I could. Great. A Western would be so awesome.
Do you want episodic TV again, or would you prefer a film or something that, or a guest star that would be, you know, just. And once and done sounds a little too
one and done.
One
one project at a time. I don't know yet. I think it would depend on how it's coming to me. I think ultimately, because I live in New Mexico, it would be awesome if I got a series that filmed here and I could go home at night. And because it's so quiet here at night and all the stars, it's just gorgeous here.
That's great. That's one state I've never been to.
It feels a little more European in how people interact and just a little more ease in the lifestyle here than fast pace of a big city. But I don't know. I mean, it really depends on what's coming my way. I know enough to know things. If you can also not see something that's coming your way that would be perfect for you. So you don't want to say, oh, well, I would never do blah or blah, because you don't know what the whole picture looks like. Maybe there's an actor you've always wanted to work with, or a director, or even a production team that you're like, oh, I really like those people. I'll do that.
Wonderful. Now, do you see yourself ever going back to the stage?
Oh, I would like to do that. I think there's possibility here in Santa Fe, for sure. I just met a woman who's a director, and then it would just matter of the part being right.
Sure. Let us know, and we'll be there if you do.
I know you would.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, last question.
Yes.
What have you learned that you wish you could have told your younger self? What do you wish you could tell Terry at 17? Pardon?
That I'm enough.
Perfect.
I'm whole just the way I am.
That is something I wish we all could learn. Mm-hmm. Indeed. Well, Terry, this has been just a true pleasure to chat. I always love our conversations, but thank you for joining us here on Roundtable Talk.
Oh my goodness. Thank you for having me, Derek.
Absolutely. And thanks also to Dave Schaffner, our producer, and Matt Campbell, our engineer. And we'll see you next time on Roundtable Talk.